Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forever. And the church said, amen, amen, and amen. We will bless the Lord at all times, and God's praise shall continually be in our mouths. Oh, taste and see that the Lord God, he is good. Blessed be the name of the living God. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome back to the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries, where Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as we are rejoicing in this another day that the Lord God, he has made. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, God's name is great, 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 and God's name is greatly, greatly, greatly to be praised. Amen. TGIF, today God is first, and we come seeking first his kingdom and all of his righteousness. I'm your host on this morning, Apostle Dr. Alfreda, bringing you greetings from the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries. If this is your first time with us, welcome, welcome, welcome. You have indeed come to the right place at the right time. Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is here. Amen. So please come in, have a seat, amen, at the breakfast table. Breakfast is about to be served. We consider it to be the breakfast for champions. Amen. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. So enjoy the services to the extent you keep on coming back. We meet on this platform 7 days a week. Amen. Hallelujah. Lifting up Jesus for the last 11 years. Amen. And 9 months. Amen. And to God be praise, glory, amen, and all of the honor. All right, all right, all right, all right. Amen. We are moving forward today. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. With our elaborations, we pray that you have enjoyed the week. My God, we've had some good stuff come across here. Some real good stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. We talked about, amen. Yesterday, we talked about Zechariah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We touched base on Obadiah a little bit. Titus, amen. Glory be to God. Joseph, amen. It's just been a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful learning, week of learning and edification. Amen. Today, amen, we want to share on Uriah. Amen. Hallelujah. So you might say, well, who was Uriah? Well, I'm glad you asked, because you're about to find out. Amen. Glory be to God. So coming to us this morning, amen, we want to thank God for this woman of God. She's always ready. She's always ready. Amen. Glory be to God too. But roll up her sleeves, amen, get to the word, amen, scripture upon scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, amen, to see what thus saith the Lord, amen, hallelujah, and where the Lord can be glorified in it. She is definitely a student of the Bible, amen, glory be to God. She loves the Lord, amen, she loves God's people, amen, and she's moving forward into destiny and into purpose, amen. So we want to thank God, amen, for her faithfulness, amen, hallelujah. So coming to us, amen, glory be to God. I think she was already here this month, amen, but guess what, she's here again, amen, and I believe, amen, that she'll be as often as, amen, we need her, and the Lord gives her permission to come. I believe she will be right here, ready to serve, always ready to give an answer, Amen. So we want to thank God, amen, for our minister Shannon, amen, Sproul out of Philadelphia, amen. Glory be to God, a mother, a grandmother, amen, a servant, a friend, a citizen, amen, hallelujah, child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. As she comes to us this morning, amen. Let us receive her, amen, for her grace, amen. And let us receive her for her abilities, amen, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Minister Shannon. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Apostle Bradford. How are you today?
I'm exceedingly well, thank you. I'm exceedingly good to hear your voice on this morning.
Thank you. Good to hear your voice as well.
Thank
hey,
you.
As I prepared, oh boy, I started thanking
can
you so
can,
much.
Are you on Bluetooth? Wait a minute, 1 second before you jump in. Are you on Bluetooth?
No.
Okay. Not okay. This case, is it, I don't know
there's
what your vehicle communicates. Is it possible you could just take it up one notch? Because I don't want to interrupt you once you get started.
Okay, no, I might have to go. Wait a minute, I'm on my cell phone, but I do have a landline. Let me. I'm going to chime into the landline real quick. I just got to run. Oh, geez. You got it.
All right.
And I'm going to just transfer over.
Okay, no problem. No problem. Go ahead.
Quick. Please forgive
me. Amen.
But while I'm doing that, I'll go into prayer. Father and Almighty God, Lord, we just say thank you, Lord, for one more day upon your earth, one more day to serve you, God. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up, your breath of life, your gift of salvation. Thank you for abundant life upon your earth and eternal life to come when Jesus returns for us and the world at large. God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for using me for such a time as this, Father. In Jesus' name, as I come before your people, let me decrease and you increase. I'm asking you, God, to touch our hearts and minds, that we will receive this word with gladness, with joy. Let us take from this word the part that you want us to take, to anoint our ears and eyes of our hearts, that we will receive it with joy. If anybody needs your immediate attention today, I'm asking you to bless them with that attention today. Thank you for moving in their hearts, minds, and spirits. And we thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings, both small and great. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, amen. Wait a minute, I'm chiming over.
Okay, all right. Yes, amen, amen. We just want to thank God. Amen. God is good all the time, all the time. The Lord God, he is good. Hallelujah. Almighty God, almighty God.
Okay, can you hear me a little bit better?
Oh.
Okay, Pastor Breath, can you hear me a little bit better?
Okay, wait a minute. Give me 1 second. Let me get rid of the echo. Okay. Okay, now you're going to have to disconnect from the cell phone to eliminate the echo.
Okay. I did. Okay,
yeah.
I did. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Now we're going to get ready to break bread, and we're going to learn about Uriah. While each time Pastor gives me an elaboration, it seems like it's more in depth, but I find myself in each one of these servants that she gives, each one of these elaborations. So the story of Uriah starts actually in 2 Samuel, starting in chapter 11, beginning in chapter 11. And I will be reading out of the NIV version. Just wanted to give a more simpler, elaboration to the word. You know, just make it more simple and plain. I like to break it down to the barest essential. So starting in 2 Samuel chapter 11, many of us know the story of David and Bathsheba and Uriah. But just to recap. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. the woman conceived and sent forth word, sent word to David saying, I am pregnant. So David sent his word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance of the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. David was told Uriah did not go home, so he asked Uriah, haven't you just come from a military campaign? Why didn't you go home? Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my Lord's men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house and eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing. Then David said to him, stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among the master's servants. He did not go home. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, put Uriah out in front where the fighting is fierce. Then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die. So while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah at a place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. Joab sent David a full account of the battle. He instructed the messenger, when you have finished giving the king this account of the battle, the king's anger may flare up, and he may ask, why did you get so close to the city to fight? Didn't you know they would shoot arrows from the wall who killed Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal? Didn't a woman drop an upper millstone on him from the wall so that he died in Tebez? Why did you get so close to the wall? And if he asks you this, then say to him, moreover, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead. I'm going to stop there. If you desire to read later on, you can find, you know, it's only just a few more verses from chapter, starting from chapter 22nd on down out to 27th verse. So we see the story of Bathsheba and David, and Uriah falls in there because Uriah was the wife of Bathsheba. Uriah the Hittite. If I had to give this elaboration a title, it would be the consequences of sin. The consequences of sin. And Uriah was definitely a martyr. Uriah got caught up in the sin of David. In the sin of David. How? David did not know that this sin would cause so much death. We often say that sin, the sins that we do sometimes, we believe it does not affect other people. Maybe sometimes we might say our immediate family, but we don't think it affects other people. But as we can see that this sin that David sent set in motion, it not only affected and killed Uriah, but it also put Joab in a particular situation. David was so cunning that he sent this letter by the hand of Uriah to Joab, which actually was his death sentence. It also killed many other people along the way. Because of David trying to cover up his sin with Bathsheba. That's what makes this so much more harder. David put both Bathsheba and Joab in a difficult situation. Bathsheba knew it was wrong to commit adultery, but to refuse the king's request could mean punishment to death. Joab did not know why Uriah was to die. He didn't tell Joab, but it was obvious the king wanted him killed. We sometimes face situations with only two apparent choices, and both seem wrong. When that happens, we must not lose sight of what God wants. The answer may be to seek out more choices. By doing this, we are likely to find one that honors God. David's response to Uriah's death seems flippant and insensitive. While he grieved deeply for Saul and Abner, his rivals, he showed no grief to Uriah, a good man with strong spiritual character. David had become callous to his own sin. The only way he could cover up his first sin of adultery was to sin again, and soon he no longer felt guilty for his wrong actions. Feelings are not reliable guides for determining right and wrong. Deliberate, repeating sin can dull David's sensitivity to God's law and other rights. The more you try to cover up a sin, the more insensitive you become towards it. Don't become hardened to sin as David did. Confess your wrong actions to God before you forget their sins. Uriah in the Hebrew means God is light. Uriah was an elite soldier in the army of David, of King David of Israel, and he was the husband of Bathsheba and the daughter of Emulon. Uriah became part of King David's mighty men, meaning Uriah was one of David's, maybe like they say, 30. In the group of 30 of his mighty men. This meant that Uriah was faithful. Uriah was also, he was a Hittite, and he was a descendant from Heth, the son of Canaan, and a great-grandson of Noah. They ruled the area of Syria and eastern Turkey and battled with Egypt and Babylon for territory, which was a great part of the promised land of Israel. You see, God always works it out for good. God always has a plan. Oh, I found out so much, but some of the things were not surprising, but also the plan where Uriah was one of the Hittites, Abraham was acquainted with the Hittites, and he bought the burial cave from the Hittites for Sarah. And also Esau took wives from the Hittites. But as I discovered that the Hittites were not good people, they were pagans, and they practiced idolatry. They followed the air, the wind, the stars. They were these type of people. And this is why when... This is why when Esau wanted to take wives of the Hittite women, that it displeased his mother, Rebekah, and Isaac so much because they were not good women from the Hittite clan. But as we know, Esau went that way anyway. But this is where Uriah came from. But Uriah forgot about the way that he was raised. He left it behind to join David. And I want to say that there was a conversion from that time forth when he became part of David's mighty army. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Uriah was one of David's mighty men called the 30, and they were the toughest military warriors who were credited for heroic feats. Uriah served and a important role in protecting the king and fighting for freedom of their nation, the Lord, the land of Israel. You can learn more about David's mighty men in 2 Samuel chapter 23. Uriah was deemed trustworthy and honorable, as we see, even after David committed adultery with Uriah's wife Bathsheba. David called Uriah to see how the battle was going, and Uriah sent Uriah home with a gift, thinking he would sleep with his wife and cover up his sin. But Uriah was a man of principle. He did not go back home, but remained at the palace entrance among the king's servants. David also tried to get him drunk with alcohol, basically to cut it, you know, to make it plain. You know, he tried his little tricks. He said, okay, now come on now. Now go on out down there and sleep with your wife. I done gave you a little, you know, though Uriah had been granted a temporary reprieve, I gave you some time off. Go on and relax and, you know, recline and, you know, go on down there with your boo from the battle. But by the king, Uriah was a true, but the king Uriah was a true, excuse me, but by the king, but Uriah was a true soldier and chose to remain focused on his mission. Uriah couldn't indulge in his own pleasures while his brothers were fighting a battle that still needed to be won. Uriah was faithful. He was faithful to King David. He was faithful to the assignment he was given. Now, I'm about to show you some things about Uriah. David ultimately had Uriah killed by telling his commander Joab to place him in the hottest part of the battle and then to withdraw, leaving Uriah to die at the hand of the enemy. But let me show you some things about Uriah that makes Uriah so special and so unique in God's kingdom. Number one, he was loyal to the God of Israel. Uriah's zeal to serve the true God is further shown in his work as a soldier for Israel. Uriah was faithful to God. Despite his background, despite where he came from, his people were pagans, idolaters. You know, they believed in the stars and the earth and the water and the sky, which tells me that they probably were into witchcraft of some sort. But Uriah turned away from those things to become who God wanted him to be. Number two, he was a dedicated soldier. Uriah converted from being a Hittite who practiced idolatry and joined the Israelites, especially because his name reflects belief in God. God changed his name. God changed who he was. Number three, he accomplished his duty at all costs. He fought against his own people. Uriah fought against his own people, the Hittites, who were considered enemies of Israel because of their pagan ways. Israel was commanded to destroy them among other tribes. The Hittites were the most defiled. So, for Uriah to turn around and become a soldier in the army, in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of David, he had to fight against his own people. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you were put against your own flesh and blood? But in the midst of it, you took the right position because you chose God. Some of us are going to lose family. We're going to lose houses. We may even lose positions, money, things. But we gain so much more because we gain God. But have you ever been in that position where you were called to make the right decision and lose that family member or lose that loved one that you hold, that you love so dear? Or did God ever give you an assignment to go tell someone something and you knew that they were going to be hurt? Or they were going to accuse you of being a backstabber. Or you were going to have to suffer wrong for doing right. But in the end, you did what pleased God and not man and not flesh. Uriah's still joined this army still and served faithfully. And you can find out about that in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 17. Number four, for the sake of time, Uriah was respectful. He respected King David and Joab, the captains of the armies, as my lords. He understands their authority and didn't treat them as equals. You can find out about that in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 11. Uriah still served them, calling them my lords. Not even knowing what David was doing, neither did Joab, but he still served them. He served authority. How do you serve authority? How do you serve those men and women that have been put in charge and have the rule over you? How do you serve your masters on your job? How do you serve when maybe you're stopped by the police? Do you give them words, and do you be harshly with them? Or do you serve the way that you should? Do you yield? Do you give them the proper respect that is due them? You know, for whom the Lord loves, he chastises. This comes to my mind as soon as I heard that part. As soon as I wrote that part, that's what the Holy Spirit brought to my mind. And that to whom much is given, much is required. But that falls in my mindset, in my spirit, the same thing as respect. There are many times over these last few, one, two, three, four, maybe I think I've known Pastor Bradford and her family for maybe, 11, maybe going on 12 years now, I think. But I always come with an attitude of gratitude. Even when Pastor says certain things to me, when she knows in her spirit I'm getting out of line, when she comes to correct me like my Nathan, I address myself accordingly. I don't try to duck and dodge and hide. I come to her straight out like that. You have spoken the truth. And I accept it. Because I know that whom the Lord loves, he chastises. If he don't chastise me, then I'm not his. I'm a bastard. And sometimes it takes one of God's servants to come and shake us up a little bit. I would rather for you to tell me the truth now. And as you heard me say many times on this line, the truth hurts in the natural. But in the spiritual realm, it sets you free. Do you like when people come and lie to you, to your face? Do you like when they always agree with you, even when you're wrong, and even when you know you're wrong? I don't. Because it shows that you don't love me. But true love speaks the truth. Number five, he was firm to principle. When asked by the king why he didn't sleep in his house, he said firmly, I will not do this thing. And also find that out in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 11 and 12 also. He stood for what was right, even when it was against the king's command. Number six, he was obedient when called to and from the battlefield. He obeyed without question. David sent him back to Joab with a letter, the captain of the army. You can find that out in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 15 to 21. He was obedient. He didn't read the letter. He didn't do anything. He just got up and obeyed. Not knowing that he was delivering his own letter that would cause his own death and demise. He didn't groan and complain on the way there like some of us do. God tell us to do something. God, why? Why? I don't want to do that. I don't have time for that right now. God, I want to do things my way. God, I don't understand why you want me to turn this way. God, why do I have to serve under this person that I don't like? God, why are you blessing this person and I don't like it and I'm jealous because I've been waiting on you for this, that, and that, and this. You just complain about everything. God, I'm in traffic now. I'm being held up from my appointment, but God gave you the car. God, I just want to rebel right now. Do we complain or do we just go with the flow of God? Or do we just allow God to use us? You never know what God could be holding you back from if you're stuck in a traffic jam, if you're in line in the market. You can't see the beginning and all in between. Like, God, we don't know why God may be detaining us or what God is doing. That's what makes God God. That's why we can't always figure him out. That's why we need to stop groaning and complaining and just go with the flow of God and allow God to have his way in our hearts and in our lives. Number seven. Uriah was an example of a true Christian. His home life, his life on the battlefield, and his relationship to his leaders showed his character by godly principles. And you can find that out in 1 Corinthians 10:31. It is clear that God is a God of all people. He does not show favoritism. He is no respecter of persons, Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. God used Uriah. Uriah died unjustly, but he lives for all eternity with God. Uriah did right in God's sight. Uriah was a God, was a God, even though knowing that David had slept with his wife, not knowing that he was being set up. But God knew it was going to take. You see, sometimes things have to die in our life. Some things we have to let go. I took from this. Some things we just have to let go. God might be trying to let this thing go and let this thing, whatever it may be in our lives. I'm not talking about always natural death, but some things just have to go away because it's hindering us. It's stopping us from the big picture. It's stopping us from being loyal to God and being true to the mission, to be a true warrior, to be named among the most toughest and roughest of God's warriors, his kingdom. You know, inside of us, we keep saying what we can't do, some of us, when we're faced with those Jericho moments. We see that we're going into battle. We're going into the lion's den. We're about to face this fierce lion. But it's at those most times that I believe that God shows us who we are through him. He shows us just how strong and how courageous we are when we're faced at these moments, at the lowest point of your life, when there's nothing else for you to do but to look up and see the salvation of God. I will look up to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Some of us have lost friends, family, during this plague. We've lost a lot. Our world will never be the same again. But us that are saved and that believe in God, we have something to look forward to. We have something to look forward to. I just want to point out one more key point, because as I read, I could not separate Uriah from David and Bathsheba. In this episode with Bathsheba, David allowed himself to fall deeper and deeper into sin. The Holy Spirit kept putting that on my heart. And number one, David abandoned his purpose. By staying home from the battle, David was supposed to be doing what God told him to do, but David chose to come out of who God wanted him to be who he wanted to be for that day. And I want to tell you that David was already looking up there on that roof many times, even though the Bible doesn't say it, but I believe in my spirit, David was looking up there, looking for something. So was Bathsheba. And if anything, I couldn't find really anything to say about Uriah in this situation, but one thing came into my spirit, that maybe Uriah was busy doing the work of the Lord, not saying that that was wrong, but that he lost sight of his wife maybe. Maybe he wasn't being as attentive to Bathsheba as he should have been. Maybe. I'm just giving you just an insight for those that are married. Maybe he lost sight of, okay, I take her for granted. Look, I got to be about my father's business, which was good. But sometimes, you know, we got to show that special attention to our loved one, our significant other. We got to say, look, honey, I'm busy today, or wife or husband or what, if you are married or God is preparing us for it, I need to do this right now, but when I come home, I'll give you that special attention. I'll light some scented candles or whatever it is that you do. I'll make a special meal, and we'll be able to sit with the TV off and just talk, and you tell me about your day, or you unbridle yourself, that intimacy that comes only in relationship. Number two, he focused on his own desires. David wasn't focused on God at this time. He was focused on what he was about to do. Number three, when temptation came, he looked into it instead of turning from it. Number four, he sinned deliberately. He did this deliberately. He was looking up there. He probably had seen Bathsheba before. Maybe he never inquired about her. And maybe this time he was ready to do it. Number five, he tried to cover up his sin by deceiving others. Number six, he committed murder to continue the cover-up. Number seven, his sin was exposed. He finally got exposed because God sent Nathan to tell him. Sometimes we become so blinded by our sin and what we've done, God can't even get a word in because the sin has done covered all this up, and we're deceiving ourselves, thinking that we fooled somebody. But God has always got his true and real servants out here. So God had to expose it. Look, you can't move further with God if there's sin between y'all. God cannot stand where there is sin. God cannot stand. He turns his face away from you when we sin. The only way for him to turn his face back to you and make his face to shine down upon you is for you to confess it, get it out in the open. Number eight, his sin was punished. David suffered a great deal for this sin. He suffered greatly. Number nine, the consequences of his sin affected many others. David could have chosen to stop and turn from evil at any stage along the way. But once sin gets started, it is difficult to stop. You can find that out in James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. The deeper the mess we get in, the less we want to admit having caused it. And it is much easier to stop sliding down a hill when you are near the top than when you are halfway down. The best solution is to stop sin before it starts. Sometimes we just need to ask God earnestly in prayer. When we see these situations coming up, we feel them arising in our hearts. When you're feeling these affections and these different things that are going on in you, whatever's causing you to do whatever sin it may be, not just adultery, when you see them rising up, their ugly head in your heart and about to take root, you need to stop and say, oh, God, why am I feeling this way? Why am I tempted to go in a way that seems right? But the end thereof is this. Why am I tempted to do this, cuss this person out, and about to create all this havoc when I'm a child of God and I know all I got to do is bring it to you and say, God, I'm hurt. This person hurt me. And even though you tell me to pray over this thing, even though I done gave it to you, it's still in my heart. I want to go and you know, bust a move and say some words to this person because I know you'll forgive me. I want to use this liberty that you have given me to come against you. When all we got to do is stop and think somebody else is going to be hurt. It's not just you involved in this situation. And then other people are looking at you. We are the light and the salt of this earth. Other people are looking at us. You just was praying for me last week. Now I see you out here snapping out over a parking spot. I'm just giving you an example. I see you out here in the market somewhere. Maybe you don't see me, but I see you. And now I'm saying, you know what? I don't think I want to go to church or have that person pray for me no more. If you acting like this now, I don't think I want to come to your church because I'm thinking maybe all the other church members are like this. I don't think I want to serve a God that allows you to cheat and steal and do all kind of things that we're out here doing. Sometimes we find ourselves in. And I always ask the Holy Spirit, why do I have to be the bearer of what I was having a conversation with, the bearer of bad news? But then the Holy Spirit showed me some things about myself. And I said, amen and ouch. And I said, okay, let's get back in line, Shannon. I love the kind of relationship that I have with God. And I'm not laughing about anything. I'm just saying, I'm just saying, like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I just take it in stride. I really do. So in my final words about Uriah, Uriah's story gives us an important insight into God's justice, that God watches all that happens to us and this earth. In each case, he delivers justice to the oppressed. Uriah died without knowing what happened, but God made sure David was rebuked and faced consequences for his sins. We can trust the Lord will maintain the case, the cause of the afflicted, and justice for the poor. Psalms 140:12. And this was the case with Uriah. He was accepted by God and showed himself to be faithful to the end. So my ultimate life lesson for this elaboration and learning about Uriah and David and Bathsheba is that God's plans incorporate people's mistakes. No matter how the situation turns out, and no matter how bad it looks, or no matter how bad it may even get, you may have to go to prison. Innocent. You may be accused of something innocently. You may have to suffer loss innocently. Offenses are going to come. Things are going to happen in this world. Just because we get saved don't excuse us from suffering and going through these things. But when these times come, I remembered of that scripture, I was young and now I'm old and never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. And even in the midst of my own home, I watched my daughter, who wasn't with the liquor control board or whatever she do, the wine and spirits, that's what she works at. She just completed a year on September the 20th, and I want to share this testament only because I feel as though it's relevant. I just said I once was young and now I'm old and never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. Sabrina has been promoted 3 different times, and I am told by Sabrina and by her colleagues that when I go in to see her, that this is not supposed to take place. Normally, they don't start promoting until after a year of being there. Now, she has just been offered another position as second clerk, too, to move to another store, which will mean more money. She will lose 5 hours, but she will gain more money, and she will be promoted up again. And I looked, and I said, my God, thank you for blessing her. Thank you for keeping her. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Even in the midst of it all, thank you, God. I look to God, not to Shannon, because I'm nobody. I'm only what God makes me. So I just want to just encourage that God is able to do it. He's able. He's able to do it. And I tell her every day, stop looking at things from your own eyes and start seeing it through God's eyes. God is blessing you. I would like to say because of me, but God is still blessing her, no matter what. And my ultimate goal is for all of my children, natural and spiritual, to be saved, to be delivered, to be healed. This is what we are called to do. That's why every time pastor call me, text me, anyone, any servant of God, if I know that it's coming from God and it's about God's business, I might not be equipped right then and there, but you best believe I get myself right in line and I say, okay, God for me to do. Like Uriah, and I'm going to do it. I'm not going to groan and complain. I'm going to pick myself up, get in my book, do what I need to do, spend some time alone with God, allow the Holy Spirit to use me. And that's what it's all about. I pray that this elaboration has helped somebody today, and I pray that you tilt from it what you need to take from it and let it take root in your heart, allow you to grow to maturity or whatever it is that God is trying to do in it through your life. I pray God's continued blessings and mercy and favor over you all. To all on the line, everybody have a blessed and have a good day in Jesus' name.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious Holy Ghost, amen. God bless you, Minister Shannon, and we want to thank God for that very, very thorough elaboration on your Uriah. Amen. And the consequences of sin. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. There's so much. It was just loaded. Amen. Complete. Amen. Glory be to God. And so we want to thank God. We think you covered it from every angle. Amen. Glory be to God. Let me see. You said so much, so it's too much for me to reiterate. But let me see my major bullet point. Oh, God. I never looked at Uriah like that, amen, and how you broke Uriah down and her back and his background. So that was awesome. So we thank God for all those wonderful bullet points. And you had to incorporate David and Bathsheba to bring out the full picture, amen. And we saw David, amen, covering sin with sin, dulling, amen, his sensitivity the same way we say when you lie, you got to tell another lie to cover up the last lie. Amen. So when you tell one lie, you got to tell another. But we see David here doing the same thing with sin. Amen. He's using one sin to cover another sin. Amen. Glory be to God. But in summary, my major takeaway from this very thorough elaboration is that Uriah was faithful to the assignment, but his principles, amen, and the fact that he refused to go home with his wife, he refused to serve, he was adamant about serving the king, adamant about going back to war. Our principles may cause our death. Our principles may cause our death. We look at Stephen, who was a martyr, amen, beloved, amen. But the truth of the matter is, you know, the Bible says that, look, Jesus is Lord if we live or if we die. Amen. And so when we hold on to our principles and we refuse to compromise, it may cause your death. But we just are happy to know that to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And if a man or a woman has nothing to die for, they definitely have nothing to live for. And there's a lot of scriptures. Amen, beloved. Some of us may have to lose our lives, especially in the times that we're living in right now with what's going on and what's breaking out and the threat that's coming to us. We may have to lose our life. Amen. Hallelujah. But there's a scripture in the back of my mind that I want to pull up. But you can look it up for yourself. Amen. If you lose your life, you didn't lose anything. Amen. Glory be to God. And then you wrapped it up. Amen. Very, very strong. God's plans incorporate people's mistakes. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and for those who are called according to his purposes. God knew everything we was going to do before we do it. He knew what Uriah was going to do before he did it. He knew what David was going to do before he did it. And God's plans incorporated all of that. So we can be encouraged, beloved. Amen. To keep on keeping on. Because God has already incorporated, amen, your life. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen. Hallelujah. And as we said earlier this week, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Amen. So wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, my sister. Amen. Bravo, bravo, bravo. Amen. Hallelujah. You hit it again. And we just want to thank God for the word of God. As the word of God works, the word of God will never return void, but accomplish everything that he has sent it forth to do. Amen. All right, Sister Shannon, God bless you. Any announcements, anything you need to share with us, amen, before we move forward into the benediction?
No, there's really not nothing. And God, I'm still on the will. God is still molding and making me into the woman, the servant that he would have me to be. And I'm just rejoicing in the God of my salvation today and rejoicing with you all. And I love you all. And I'm telling you, my spirit, when I close my eyes, God is showing me some miraculous things in my mind. I'm still trying to get it all on paper, but God is just awesome. God is just awesome. Never forget that. God is awesome. Nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Amen and amen. If you do not know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of your sins, then you're listening today. Amen. We want you to know, amen, as the word of God is going forth today, amen, that there are consequences, amen, to sin. The wages of sin is death. Amen. But the gift of God, amen, is eternal life. Amen. You can stop this morning. Amen. Glory be to God and turn things around. Amen. God, amen, his plans, amen, have already incorporated your mistakes. God knew that you was a sinner. He knows you're a sinner. You was born a sinner. We were all born in sin and shaven in iniquity. Amen. But God's plan, amen, is for you to turn while you have time to turn. Will you turn to God today? If any man will believe in his heart and confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus, he shall be saved. We are beseeching you, behooving you, pleading with you. Please, amen, consider Jesus. Amen. So to accept Jesus Christ in your heart, amen, it's no rituals. Amen. No certain colors, certain positions. Amen. He's looking at the position of your heart. Just open up your heart this morning. Amen. Ask God to forgive you for being a sinner and invite Jesus, amen, into your heart to live as your Lord and your Savior. That's it. That's all you got to do. Amen. When you do that, amen, you're saved. Hallelujah. And then you reach out to this ministry. Amen. Or other Bible-believing ministries. Amen. And we're going to, amen, help you to grow in that. Amen. But that is the beginning, amen, of your fellowship and your eternal walk. Amen. With the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen and amen. All right. All right. All right. All right. Today is Friday, 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 Friday. Tonight is our praise night. Bring your own praise party. We invite you. Amen. Those of you listening to today, amen, come and join us, amen, of 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The telephone number is 385-799-9729. And you come with your songs and your, if you have a song, if you have a testimony, if you have a praise report, amen, it's just a time of fellowship. You may just want to base. Amen, in the fellowship. Amen. So set your alarm clock. Amen. And meet us at 9 p.m., Lord's willing. Amen. We will be right there in Jesus' name. All right. Today is Friday. It's offering day here at the Lifeway Jesus Kingdom Ministries. Amen. And we thank you. Amen. For your desire to sow into the word. To sow into the word. That's the only thing that's going to bring forth. Amen, that eternal harvest. Amen, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Hallelujah, God loves a cheerful giver. Hallelujah, and the truth of the matter is, you really cannot beat God's giving. The more you give to God, the more God gives back unto you. Several ways you can sow into this ministry. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 461, Post Office Box 461 in Glenside, Pennsylvania. That's G-L-E-N-S-I-D-E, and the zip code is 19038. Amen. We also have Cash App, $LifeWordJesus, $LifeWordJesus, PayPal to PayPal, amen, at LifeWordJesus at gmail.com, amen, or just go straight to our website at LifeWordJesus.org and just hit the donate button there. Amen. God bless, God bless, God bless, and thank you for helping us. Amen. The Lord is continually expanding our ministry. Amen. He's continually expanding. Amen. Now we're on social media on Sunday twice. We minister on Sunday at 12 o'clock on this platform, and then we come back now at 9 p.m. on social media. And God is just expanding our territory. Yes, he is. Why? Because we're faithful. Amen. Glory be to God. And as you sow into this ministry, amen, hallelujah, you get to reap in, amen, the harvest. Amen. Because the harvest is more than enough. Amen. And to God be praise. All right, y'all. Amen. We're going to be at the prayer altar at 12 o'clock today, Lord's willing, for our 12 o'clock prayer. Back tonight at the praise party at 9, and then Lord's willing, we'll be here again tomorrow morning at the breakfast table at 6 a.m., giving God praise, glory, and honor. Father God, we thank you for a good day, a blessed day, a magnificent day. We will not be in the right place at the wrong time today. Father God, we ask that you would bless us going in and coming out. Father God, in Jesus' name, Cancel danger seen and danger unseen, accidents, incidents, calamities, Father God, in Jesus' name. Anoint the prayer warriors, Father God, the intercessors as they come to serve today, 12 o'clock, 9 o'clock, Father God, in Jesus' name. Anoint them with your power, hallelujah, and we say thank you, Father God. We say thank you. We say thank you for the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries, each and every Father God ministry partner and their family. Thank you for the body of Christ, all of our brothers and sisters around the globe, Father God, and those who are being added to the family on a daily basis. We say thank you, Father. Thank you for Sister Shannon. Thank you for the preach word, Father. Hallelujah. Very thorough elaboration, the insight, Father God, hallelujah, that you used her to bring to us today. Father God, as we meditate on Uriah and David, oh, Father God, oh, Father God, we don't know all the intricate details of their lives, but you know, Father, but we know how it all ended up. And so, Father God, we thank you that we're going to be made better, amen, better servants, Father God, because of their story. Our story has now been enhanced, and we say thank you. And we say thank you. So, Father God, we bind absolutely every spirit of retaliation against Sister Shannon, Father God, and her willingness to serve. Father God, that the enemy will not be able to steal her thunder or rain on her parade. In Jesus' name. Oh, Father God, we seal this prayer. We seal this service. We commit this day unto you, Father God, that you will unfold it according to your will being done. In Jesus' name. Every spirit of retaliation we bind in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we decree and we declare that Satan is defeated. Darkness is dispelled. And Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. And Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of Lords. Amen. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Hallelujah. And everybody have a good day, a blessed day, a magnificent day. Walk in the blessing because the blessing manifestation is already here. And don't let your faults and your failures and your mistakes hold you back from doing the will of the Lord. A good man, a woman, fall down seven times and get back up again. Amen. And remember, as Minister Shannon shared, that God's plan has already incorporated your mistakes. Amen. And your successes. Keep going. Amen. Holly, because it's only what we do for Christ that's going to last. Love you. Amen. Dr. Alfreda, Philadelphia. Amen. Signing out. Blessings on blessings on blessings. Amen.
Give me the words. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Now I'll go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Peace in my heart, Lord.
In my heart.
Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
then I'll know what.